Welcome to episode 9 of No Shot Clock. This is Mike O'Brien from the Sun-Times. As always, here with Joe Henriksen. And it's Monday morning here. We're recording a little earlier than normal on Martin Luther King Day. And I'm going to give you guys a heads up. I'm distracted by the Dexter Fowler trade that just happened. I've left my high school basketball bubble briefly, so I'm going to try and put that to the back of my mind. How's it going, Joe?
It's good. Obviously, Martin Luther King weekend brings a lot of basketball. I tend to think it brings a lot of bad basketball. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, it's definitely not the greatest. It was a great week, though, that we just had. We'll get into a lot of that. First, I'm going to start up again with the questions. We got a couple to hit this week. Let's see. The first one here is from Alex Andre, and it is a big topic. He wants to know if Marcus Levet is talented enough to help a high major college program next year as a freshman.
Considering I have him as now the number two prospect in the class, yes. Mike, what he did against Simeon last week was, I've seen him several times now and starting in the fall and open gyms and fall shootouts and stuff like that, which, you know, you things jumped out at me then. But it's just the way he goes about doing what he does. He does it at such a high level in terms of the shots he makes. Those are college, translate to college type basketball shots. And he's going to be a high major point guard from day one. Now, a lot will depend on where he's at, yeah, the personnel at that school, things like that. But yes, I think he's a starting high major point guard caliber type guard from day one in certain programs.
The thing that sticks out to me about him, and I think it's pretty notable, I've really been racking my brain trying to come up with a comparison. When guys transfer from anywhere into the highest level CPS world and have to play in those games, it has always, in my experience, taken them a little while to get acclimated to it. Even LJ Peak, who is a fabulous player, we saw that by the end of his time here, how great he was. It took him a full half season. He was not very good the first half of the year, mm-hmm, when he was with Young. Second half, he came on and started doing amazing things. So with that in mind, it's been really incredible to see what Marcus Levet has done immediately.
You know, since his zero-point game in the first game?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He was actually pretty good in that game. But yeah, he seems to do it this every time I see him, kind of does it the same way. He starts a little slow. You know, he does a little bit more passing, doesn't do a lot, and then by the second half, he's out there scoring a ton. I don't think he's the best player on his team. I'll say that bold statement right now. Right now, Charlie Moore is playing much better in my mind.
We'll disagree on that, but I mean, I love Charlie Moore. But the impact Levet can have in terms of Charlie's been terrific too. I mean, this is like
Charlie's taken twice the shots to get what Levet's getting.
I'm just, and I guess I'm looking more projection too, yeah, with this question, because his explosiveness in the open court, mm-hmm, it is wow. I mean,
oh yeah,
he you cannot stay in front of him. And the thing that I continue to think is underrated about this kid, he is uncanny with his passing ability. I mean, he does things on the pass with the pass that you just don't see at a high school level. Even at the last meaningless at the end of the Simeon game, he brings it up court. They're down four, I think. It looks like he's going to go get a quick basket. He drove the lane, and he kicks out to a three-point shooter. I don't even know how he found him. But just that savvy. He's an all-around type of player, not just a scoring point guard in my mind, even though he does get a lot of buckets.
There's no doubt. I just think Luan Pipkins outplayed him in the first Bogan Morgan Park game, clearly to me. I'm really excited to see that rematch, you know, now that he's going to have a second chance against them. But Pipkins stole the ball from him three or four times, was much better defensively, you know, scored right with him. He lost the game, of course, you know, Morgan Park beat Bogan. But I thought Pipkins definitely won the one-on-one matchup the first time around. So I'm interested to see. And I think Levet could have a huge second half of the season. I think, just like those other guys, he is still getting used to all this. And he does admit it when you talk to him, you know, after the game, that the speed is what's different. you know, from
I just like that he's lived up to the hype. That's, I mean, because I hyped him up. I think you,
yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah,
the
no
most
doubt.
Part,
yeah.
We did, and he's lived up to it.
Yeah, the question is, yes, he's going to be a good player at a high major college, most likely. You know, he visited Illinois over the weekend. He was at the Indiana game on Sunday. I haven't heard much about how that went yet, but it's great for Illinois to get him down there.
Yeah, it is. I think it's going to. I mean, St. John's is coming hard. Kansas is still there. Iowa's been. I've had a number of people who were up in Minnesota for their game when he scored 38 or 39 up there, and came away from a lot of national people were talking about him. His ranking, all that stuff, will go up. It's going to be interesting to see. It's getting late now. You know, I mean, coach has got to make a concerted effort now to get into Chicago, see him, make, you know, between now and March and April. So it'll be interesting to see what other schools try to get in play now going forward with him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be one of the fun things to watch this season. We can move on now to our second question. It's from Scott from Ball Is Life. If you guys know him, he does the videos that you see on YouTube, and from the views, a lot of you see them. But anyway, he wants to know, he's got a bunch of questions. We're only going to be able to hit two here. The first one is the top 3 to 5 unsigned seniors in the state, besides for Levette, Josh Stamps, and Matt Rafferty, who I think most people all think are the top guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, those are the one guy I'd slide into the top three would be Kenneth Perkins from North Lawndale, kind of an unknown, blossomed here. He transferred in this year. You know, as long as he can qualify, and he's a definite Division I prospect. He's still raw, still thin, but he's right there. And then there's a whole host of guys, Mike, who, you know, are the thing is, Mike, if I guess I should say to all you student athletes out there, if you haven't really been touched, contacted much by Division I coaches by now, you may start looking elsewhere, because it's pretty late in the game now. I mean, there's some that are still kind of on the bubble, but there's a host of players who are still trying to get, you know, the Division II, low Division I looks. Another big one, he decommitted actually, Kalen Fisher from Proviso East. He decommitted from SIUE, and Kalen Fisher, a scoring two guard. He's available. Cole Gentry at St. Charles East, who I think it's ridiculous. He has one scholarship offer right now, just one, Lewis University Division II. Harrison Nego from Lyons Township, another one. Miles Carter from St. Rita, a big man. Coaches love trying to find a big man. Well, he's 6'8", 6'9". Hasn't been super productive, but he's got a body and some things to work with. Fred Sims at North Lawndale. Jeremy Roscoe. Uplift. Joe Mooney from Niles Notre Dame has a couple of offers. A sleeper who's kind of blossomed this year, Johnny Fox at Hales Franciscan, and then a couple of guards, Broderick Thomas at Bolingbrook, who had a monster weekend this weekend, and then an unknown who I've just gotten familiar with, Jaquan Johnson from Urban Prep West, a big-time shooter, 5'11", 6-foot combo guard, unknown in the city. Mike, you've talked about city guys kind of flying under the radar. He's one of them. He is just a guy that really no one's talked about. I literally watched his AAU team at least handful, 2-3 times, and I came away this summer not even knowing who he was. So it kind of shows you. You know, I was talking to his high school coach, and he said he really didn't do much in the summer. And didn't have a big summer, and now he's really blossomed. He's averaging 23 points a game in the Red West.
Yeah, and that's a team, Urban Prep West. I'm probably going to get to see them Wednesday. They gave Young a scare, only lost by 3, and they've had a great season. You know, so it's no surprise that somebody had to be playing well for them, so it'll be interesting to check him out.
For all those guys I mentioned, they're all getting sniffs from a varying degree of schools. Low Division One. Kalen Fisher's had a few mid-majors out to look at him. So it'll be interesting to see how all those recruitments play out over the next 2 months.
Yeah, that North Lawndale team, you know, Fred Sims is such an athlete. And you are right about Kenneth Perkins. I saw him for the first time on Monday. I loved his game. He played so hard and did so many things the whole game long against Young. I thought he was spectacular. Definitely one of the thinnest guys I've ever seen play high school basketball.
Very thin.
Yeah, he is. But he's fast. And he's athletic. He was a really fun one. I liked watching him. North Lawndale is a fun team to see. I think they could actually beat anyone.
And they're scary. They're a scary team, no question, because they've got some weapons and some talent.
Yeah, and they can lose to anybody, too. They blew a huge lead against Young. It was horrible.
Which they've shown, yes.
Yeah, but they're an interesting one. All right, so let's move on from the emails then. and head on to our next topic. This is something we've talked about a lot, Joe. But, you know, a bunch of big ones one big one happened again. So let's get to these out-of-state games. You know, Stevenson absolutely trounced by Findlay Prep. Simeon lost to Philadelphia Archbishop Carroll. So two big losses by two of our best teams.
Well, it's hard. My question is, how do you gauge? And you do the rankings in the Sun-Times and the value of all these out-of-state games. There's all kinds of different types of out-of-state. Just because you play out-of-state teams doesn't mean you're playing a national schedule, in my mind. Mm-hmm. But when you do play some of these big-time programs, including these prep schools, that is a national schedule. Yes, Simeon and Whitney Young have kind of set the tone in this area. Stevenson now, I think it's a great opportunity for schools. I do. They get to travel some locations. The bonding of the time together, the different type of situations and settings you play in, it's all beneficial, I think. And Stevenson is going to make do on this opportunity that's presented. It's probably the only time they'll be able to do this. It's just hard for me to really value in terms of what the losses and the wins mean.
Yeah,
in the grand scheme of things.
It's a problem with, Morgan Park is the team that's the big issue for me this year. With three of their five losses are to out-of-state teams, and they're to out-of-state teams that I know nothing about. You know, they're not like, it's Detroit Jesuit, Cleveland Central Catholic. You know, well, I guess we know about the De La Salle Minnesota team. They've won a bunch of state titles. But, so yeah, it's tough.
Even when some of the big name, an example, Bishop Gorman came in with these two, they have two players ranked in the class of 2015 in the top 10 in the country. And they came into Chicago 2 years, not this past year, but 2 years ago, and they were terrible.
Yeah. They're like the Bolingbrook of national teams.
The Chicago Elite Classic, yeah. And so, now I did watch the Findlay Prep Stevenson game, and I tweeted, I said, if these two teams played 10 times, Findlay Prep wins all 10. I really think that. It was so odd to me to see Stevenson so out of their element. Are they going to get better from it? Yes. Did they take a they competed. I don't think anything less of Stevenson when I think of Illinois and what they're going to do here in our state based on what I watched against Findlay Prep.
Yeah. And to be honest, and this probably isn't fair, most often, I guess I'm giving teams the benefit of the doubt when they lose to these national. Otherwise, Young would not have been in the rankings for a month like they were, despite all those losses. Otherwise, Stevenson still wouldn't be number one. I mean, that loss to Chaminade, if they'd lost to Notre Dame or a pretty good local team, they'd have dropped. You know, but they were able to hold on to that, even though St. Rita's beaten that team. So I guess you're getting the benefit of the doubt that if you're at some national event against a national team, you know, that it's a pretty good loss.
And the other thing, national rankings.
Morgan Park has won consecutive state titles and basically can't sniff the national rankings.
Yeah, and it's just...
With multiple D1 players. Nobody just thinks of them the last 2 years.
And there's not enough teams that play each other across the country to really gauge. I don't know. I'm just...
Remember when
the whole prep school thing.
Thornton was number one. Remember when Thornton was number one for like a week in USA Today 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, and Stevenson was as highly ranked. I can't remember if they were in the top 10.
Yeah, they were seven or something, I think. Yeah.
I mean, I love Stevenson, but I can't believe that there's not, even at that time, 10 teams in the country better than Stevenson.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't pay much attention to the national rankings. I guess it's fun to just throw them out there and hey, you beat. We're playing the number 12 team in the country or whatever it might be. But I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of the out of state games for personally.
No, it's in a lot of things that the national rankings, not to harp on that. But if you lose, you basically are out or you drop. And in my world, losing to a good team isn't a bad thing. And I rank teams in a lot of ways based on who they've beat, not who they've lost to. You should play good teams, you know, and lose some games. To me, that's not the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is not playing anybody good and winning all your games. That's horrible.
And now staying a little closer to home, back to in-state, you know, I just want to bring up this real quick, this storyline to follow over the next couple months. The Upstate 8 River... I know, Mike, you were at the St. Charles East, St. Charles North game. on Saturday. I was actually at St. Charles East playing Larkin on Friday. So we got our fill of the Upstate River this weekend. But, you know, those teams, and specifically St. Charles East, St. Charles North, and Geneva, it's going to be a fun, fun race up and down that Fox River because those schools are close by each other. They have some good rivalries. St. Charles East right now, 7-1. Geneva, 5-1. St. Charles North, I believe, is 6-2. And the St. Charles schools have already played each other three times. A barn burn that you just saw. A fourth could be coming in March. How are they going to all play this season out? Playing each other is going to be fun. And then in March, you've got all three of those schools in the same regional. So one, and then that regional is going to be at Geneva. So one of those schools, I mean, seeding is going to be pretty important in that regional.
Yeah.
Because that number two and three seed, whoever doesn't get the number one, is going to have to beat the other and beat somebody twice just to get out of the regional. I mean, can you imagine being, well, let's say St. Charles East, St. Charles North plays a fourth time in a regional semifinal if Geneva is the number one seed. That's pretty, well, it's a lot of fun, but you're going to see like a Tuesday, Wednesday night game and regional play that's going to be a full gym if that were to happen.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by the margin of victory Geneva had over St. Charles North on Friday night. They beat them pretty good. And then, you know, St. Charles North turned around and beat East. With those three teams, it's just going to, whoever's better that day, I don't think there's that much. Even though East has the gaudiest record and the highest ranking, they're not that much better than either one of them. And who knows, by the end of the year, they both have some sophomores, you know, that are decent. So it's going to be tough. But to me, what's kind of sad about that is Auburn. You know, they're just lurking there.
They're sitting there in the sectional.
Yeah, feel like whoever gets out of there is just probably going to lose to Auburn, because otherwise I would like one of these teams. I'd like the looks of them, you know, right, in a sectional final or super sectional, whichever one of them got hot, I think could make a nice run. But I feel like Auburn is just there waiting in the wings and kind of going to knock any of them off. We saw what they did to Neuqua. Who, boy, this weekend.
Yep. And you know, back to the, it's interesting too, the storylines in that league. You know, you got two underrated guards and Jake Ludwig and Cole Gentry. You got your favorite player in the country.
Jack Callahan.
At St. Charles North.
Hey, Jack Callahan knows when college coaches aren't calling, you better make some other plans. He already did.
He's got that kind of moldy game that you just kind of gravitate to and say, hey, I like that kid. But, you know, Geneva's got all the size. St. Charles East has the guard. I mean, it's just going to be a fun race to watch and play out in March.
Well, I got a question for you. Do you think Jake Ludwig is all area?
Ah, boy, that's early here for that.
It's time to start wondering.
I know.
I was thinking about it, and
I would say he's on the outside looking in right now. You know, of that top 20.
Yeah.
But you really have to. I mean, it's going to, Mike, when you start breaking that down, it's going to be tough this year.
Yeah,
because there are a lot of guys that people aren't real familiar with who are putting up monster seasons. You know, and Ludwig is one of them. I mean, other than people that see him in Pontiac, no one really knows this kid.
No.
He's a gutty little scrappy guard who just makes, well, you saw, makes big shots and does a lot of great things for that St. Charles North team.
Yeah. Right now he's on my ballot. He's one of the 20 best players I've seen that I've seen a lot this year. And a lot of big name guys are not. We'll leave it at that. But that's fun stuff. I'm probably banned from the Upstate 8 River for a good month now. I've seen way too many of their basketball games lately, so I got to move on.
You know, there's a bunch of, you know, closing out here this podcast. Well, we're going to randomly go through some topics real quick, hit them, quick hitters. My first one is just a really big weekend for Bolingbrook this past weekend. I think they play Bloom today in the afternoon at one of the Martin Luther King events, Joliet maybe, I can't remember. But they beat Homewood Flossmoor in a must-win on Friday night in their league and came up with a nice win over Hillcrest. And we've, you know, I think Bolingbrook's kind of become our whipping boy with just the expectations and the rankings and maybe not quite reaching, not quite reaching that. You know, some early regional loss here and there. Is this the turning point, Mike? I mean, how much stock do you put in this one weekend?
I think it's big because they're back-to-back. you know, it's the let up. It's not that Bolingbrook doesn't have big wins, you know, in good games. It's that they can't put together any consistent streak. And so it is a good sign. You know, they did lose to Nequa I think it was like January 6th or whatever. It was a close game. They lost by like 7. That's one they should have gotten. But they lost to 3 good teams in a row. They lost to Hales, Thornton, and Nequa. And I thought that was it. That was going to send Bolingbrook rolling downhill and they'd be under 500 mess quickly. Instead,
and just a little note, Devin Sams is a pretty solid guard, junior. He had knee surgery, missed 7 games, and came back and I guess was nowhere near 100%, which is expected. They say now he is 100%, and he had a big weekend for them. So that's going to add to their depth. They've already got 2 good guards with Prentice Nixon and Broderick Thomas. So the addition of Devin is I think, an underrated part of Bolingbrook's, I guess, success now and maybe even their struggles earlier.
Yeah, and it's important. And the struggles weren't that bad. You know, they lost to Joliet Central. That's their bad loss. That's kind of keeping them out of the rankings for now. I don't mind that they lost to some good teams, but it's important to let the listeners know, if you haven't seen Bolingbrook, they have all the pieces to be in a sectional final for sure. Prentice Nixon, super, one of the biggest, highest scoring guards in the area. When he gets hot, he can hit 40 in a game easily. They have Julian Torres down
like
low.
But like Bolingbrook, he has some consistency too. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's inconsistency.
They all do. Broderick Thomas, they have so many weapons. This team mm-hmm. has all the pieces to be
especially in their sectional.
Yeah, they could make a huge run. So they're definitely worth talking about. They're worth watching. And so, yeah, it's great to see them get 2 wins. If they can get if they win 2 more games this week, you know, you could be looking at a 10-5 team that's going to be back in the rankings. And, you know, Bolingbrook, yeah, definitely one to watch.
The Southwest Suburban Red, kind of like the Upstate 8 Conference River, is going to be a fun league to watch. Thornwood, Thornton, Bradley Bourbonnais, Lincoln Way West. I'm going to go out and watch Bradley Bourbonnais, Lincoln Way West this weekend. A key game, I think, especially for Lincoln Way West. That's kind of their big first marquee matchup I guess they beat Thornton earlier in the year. But that league, Thornwood looks to have it going again. Khalif Fagan, a really versatile 6'4 guard. He's playing at a high level. So Thornwood is one, I think, 4 or 5 in a row, maybe 6 in a row. So that's a team to watch in that league with those other 3 teams, Bradley, Lincoln Way West, and Thornton all tied for first.
Yeah, Thornwood just totally crap the bed at Bloomington Normal. Since then, yeah, like you said, they've won 5 or 6. Nice big win over Bradley. I'm starting to get frustrated by Bradley Bourbonnais. I saw them play Cree a couple weeks ago. I thought, you know, this was a team that was going to be top 10 next year, should be ranked all year this year. They're just not real consistent. They haven't learned how to win yet. Micah Bradford is so good. Zach Hollywood is the one who seems to be up and down. You know, he didn't show up at all in the second half against Crete and really cost them that game. So, he's got to become a lot more consistent. And Thornwood, you know, Chelby Frazier is a kid we haven't talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just Fagan with them. Chelby Frazier kind of plays better in most of the games that I see.
No, he's their rock. He is the guy. Yeah, you're exactly right. He does a lot of things for them.
And they are such an emotional team, it seems. Remember last year, they went on all those wins in a row. They really get up and they get down, and they are up right now. You kind of wonder if that's not going to make them the favorite. I feel like they've got the most talent, you know, in that conference.
Well, we keep saying that. We keep talking about Bradley. We keep talking about Thornton. And we always keep forgetting about Thornton. But, you know, we'll see. A couple of teams that good and bad here that I just want to touch on. We just mentioned it a little bit earlier. Nequa Valley just got ripped apart by Rockford Auburn. Now it's a 9:30 a.m. game in a Martin Luther King shootout. There's probably nobody in the gym. Nonetheless, Rockford Auburn is really good, really talented. A threat to get to Peoria, actually. They beat them up Saturday. And then on the other side of things, Orr in the public league. They lost 5 starters from a team that finished 3rd in the state a year ago. I saw them earlier. I believe it was the Whitney Young game.
Yeah.
They had some pieces, but they looked young. They looked inexperienced. They looked raw. And, jeez, well, I think they cracked your rankings, and I think they're 12-3.
Oh, you won a week? I don't care who's up and who's down. In 1 week, they beat Marshall, Farragut, Young, and De La Salle. I mean, wow. That's spectacular. I don't care what your record was before that. You were obviously on a roll. This is a young team that's really coming together. You know, they've traveled all over the place. They've been in Michigan. They were in Louisiana for a while. Raekwon Drake is what I took from that. The one I'm going to see them again this week, but the one game we did see, the loss to Young, Raekwon Drake is a freshman. He's, what, 6'4", 6'5", now?
Mm-hmm.
He is, I think he's the best freshman I've seen this season. Definitely as far as potential.
He's so advanced physically and athletically. That's the only concern. As you go forward, you wonder, is he going to keep growing? Is he going to continue to add those parts? But, yeah, he's been productive just for them. I mean, what you got out of Ward usually is a team that plays really hard all the time. A lot of those Red West teams are like that, scrappy, get after it. But for them to be where they're at is a surprise to me. And another surprise, if you look at our preseason rankings and you look at the talent level on the roster, that has just plummeted as Proviso East.
Hey, not in my preseason rankings.
Oh, am I? Not, true. I had them, I don't know, 20, 21, something like that. But, I mean, they have parts. I mean, they've got pieces. They've got talent. Great athleticism. Great speed. Great quickness. Guards. A little wild, but... they are just now. Donnie Boyce obviously has not been on the bench for over a month now, and I watched them against Hinsdale South, and they were down 20 plus in the first half. They got beat by Fenwick by, I think, 25 or 26.
Yeah, and this is a team. They have the talent. They beat Hinsdale Central. You know, I watched that game, and I was like,
right,
wow.
I was there too.
Yeah,
and
look at this.
Kalen Fisher played well that game. Had 26, 27. And, it's but you lose a coach under those circumstances in the middle of the season,
and a coach who's the heartbeat of the team, who obviously right. is the one that is leading them and making them do everything they need to do. So I think it's a little harsh to judge Proviso East right now. It's been a mess of a season. When you lose your coach in the middle of the season, what do you?
But you wonder what this team's going to be like in March is what my concern is. Just are they done?
The problem is going to be they're going to get a cruddy seed, and somebody's gonna have to deal with them.
that's a good point.
Yeah,
somebody's gonna play that team.
It's gonna be a feeder game,
like a semifinal regional game.
And, yeah, that's gonna be very unlucky for some poor West Suburban team.
Well, speaking of Hinsdale Central, you just mentioned Proviso East Hinsdale Central game this weekend. Hinsdale Central's got another big test. St. Joe's, they get them on their, I believe it's in their gym for the high school hoop showdown.
Yeah.
Hinsdale Central, St. Joe's. You know, a team that is just inching its way into, you know, in terms of possibility of being a big player in March because of the sectional they're in, for one, and they're a pretty darn good team, Hinsdale Central. So they've got a big test, though, with St. Joe's on Saturday night.
Yeah, that is going to be a really fun game. Really looking forward to it. I think it's going to let us know if Hinsdale Central can play with the big boys. You know, because of that... the loss we talked about to Proviso East at the Proviso West Holiday Tournament, Hinsdale Central did not go as far as a lot of us thought they would, so we didn't get to see them against, you know, top five caliber teams. So to me, it's just a huge test for Hinsdale Central, because St. Joe's, do not sleep on them. They are up, they are down, you know, they've lost to DePaul, but no one has the resume they do. I will keep stressing that. They've beaten seven teams that have been ranked this year. Seven. There are teams in the rankings that haven't beaten two. You know, that is massive.
And they've got the guards. I mean, they've got the backcourt. Yeah. And that's going to be the big thing on Saturday that I would be interested to see is Jordan Bradshaw has been solid for Hinsdale Central, their guard. You know, their bigger big name, obviously, is Matt Rafferty, and they've got George Kiernan. And they're a little underrated athletically. I think they think of the suburban, slow whites. That's not them. They push tempo. They shoot the three pretty well. But Jordan Bradshaw is going to have his hands full handling St. Joe's and that backcourt of Jordan Nash and Glenn Watson.
The tempo is exactly right. You know, that's something that St. Joe's has struggled with. They're a great team that lets everyone dictate tempo to them. You know, that's not a good sign when you see that. I don't like that at all. You know, look at some of their scores. Plainfield East kept it in the 40s, you know, blah, blah, blah. So St. Joe's seems to kind of go with the flow. They're super talented and let the other team dictate what's going to happen. And you don't want to do that, like you said, with Hinsdale Central. And Matt Rafferty versus Nick Rakosevich is going to be a great matchup.
And you know who has the biggest week coming up? Bogan. The Bogan Bengals, I believe, they play Old Morgan Park on Tuesday.
Yeah.
and then go to Simeon on Thursday.
Yeah.
We've waited and waited for Bogan to kind of reclaim what they thought, what we all thought they would be. And I guess this is a big week for them.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on Bogan. I'm done. Pulling the cord. It's that
what
team.
What if they beat one of these two teams this week?
Yeah, not happening. Watch them just give up at home against Simeon. It was kind of pathetic. Lost 73-55, I think. I'm hearing some things about that. There's problems within that team right now. They're really flawed. I mean, if they can come around, they're going to get all up for Morgan Park. They hate Morgan Park. It's a huge rivalry game. They played pretty well in their loss at Morgan Park. So maybe that could help turn the season, but I just don't see it. I mean, there's rumors of some kids looking for transfers out of there, and Arthur Goodwin admitted it to me basically after the loss to Simeon that things are just not right. So it could be a rough week for Bogan.
Well, then I would be out. Because although, I mean, there's a lot of basketball to be played. I mean, some of these things do tend to get corrected, but you're right. I mean, it's been a team that I had. I mean, it's two bags. I really thought this was the year. Okay, it's Bogan's turn.
Yeah,
Bogan is going to be the next public league team to break through, kind of like Orr did the last couple years, and get to Peoria.
And I think it's important to realize, you know, Bogan is all about how they play, the effort, the heart, the intensity. And we've seen Lamont Bryant take a team like that to the state championship. You know, we've seen to win a state championship. We've seen Nick Irvin do that with Morgan Park teams, and everybody acts like that's easy to do. It's really hard to keep that
up. The only thing with that is, if you look at Class 3A, and if Bogan can just get hot for a 1 week, because really all that stands in Morgan Park or Bogan's way are each other.
Yeah.
And getting to Peoria, it's literally. I mean, I know things can happen in high school basketball on any given night, but it's literally those two teams just on a collision course to play each other and for the right to get to Peoria. So if you can kind of get clicking just for one little stretch and then get Morgan Park during that time in March, you know, we'll see what happens.
And that's been the problem. Bogan, that's when they've failed, too, even in these good seasons. It's in March is when they haven't pulled it out. You know, they've lost some games they shouldn't have over the last few years in March. So, yeah, we'll see if Bogan can turn it around. But, yeah, big week for them. Expect Pipkins-Levette to go at it again. There was obviously some juice between those two, so that's going to be fun. But I think that'll wrap up Episode 9 here, Joe. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And definitely send in some questions, you know, that we can get to for next week. Still haven't set up that email for the podcast. You can just have to send it to me. It's MOBRIEN, MOBRIEN @suntimes.com. Have a great week, everybody.